We are the space robots. We are here to protect you.
We are here to protect you from the terrible secret of Ramp Radio.
Saddam urges Iraqis to strike coalition forces. Canada bans 7 more groups as terrorists. And Denver fans walk out of a Pearl Jam show. These stories and more coming up next on Rant Radio News.
Rant Radio News.
Your daily dose of news, issues, commentary, and attitude. Exclusively on Rant Radio.
The news starts.
My name is Rumbling Sky, and this is Rant Radio News for Friday, April 4th, 2003. In an unannounced television broadcast Friday designed to rally his people, Saddam Hussein called on Iraqis to strike at the U.S.-led coalition. The speech made only one topical reference, to the capture of an Apache helicopter March 23rd, which Iraqi officials have said was brought down by farmers in central Iraq. A U.S. intelligence official said references to the helicopter suggest Saddam's speech was made after the strike aimed at killing him. The U.S. and British have expressed doubt about whether the Iraqi leader was alive since the opening day of the war, when cruise missiles hit a compound in Baghdad where Saddam was believed to be hiding. Military leaders have increasingly raised questions about Saddam's well-being this week, trying to push him into showing himself. Officials have stopped short of saying the video message, which was broadcast on Iraqi television, provided conclusive proof he was still alive and in command. And this is where I have to wonder if Saddam Hussein is even in the freaking country. I've seen some of the footage, both on videotape and the public footage, and I have to say that none of those guys really looked alike. I mean, in one video you got Saddam with graying hair looking all old and haggard, and another it looks like he lost 20 years. But then again, maybe Saddam took a cue from the goths and invested in some black hair dye. If I had the US gunning for my ass, I'd have shaved my mustache, grown some hippie hair, and be hanging in Amsterdam smoking a fatty, especially if I had a big-ass bank account like his. But in other news, a United Airlines flight from London to New York that was diverted to Ireland by a bomb threat resumed its journey Friday after a search of the plane turned up nothing. The Boeing 777, with 180 passengers and 17 crew members on board, was flying Thursday from Heathrow Airport to JFK International Airport when a passenger discovered a threatening note in a seat pocket. The aircraft made an emergency diversion to Shannon Airport in Southwest Ireland, where those aboard were searched by police and then put up in local hotels for the night. United Airlines officials declined to discuss the note, but passengers contacted in Shannon said a fellow passenger had found a handwritten note on a napkin warning that a bomb was on board. Police searched the plane and its luggage at daybreak, and police spokeswoman Sinead O'Hara said there were no explosives and no arrests. Ottawa has banned 7 more foreign groups from operating in Canada, saying they have knowingly engaged in terrorist activity, officials said on Friday. It added 3 Colombian groups, as well as groups from Uzbekistan, Southeast Asia, Spain, and the occupied territories, to a list of outlawed movements that now numbers 26. Canadian law provides for their assets to be frozen and makes it a crime to participate in or contribute to their activities or deal in their property or finances. The groups that have been banned are Jamaa Islama, a regional militant Muslim network in Southeast Asia, blamed by officials for the Bali bombings last October that killed 202 people. The Al-Aqsa Martyrs Brigade, a militant faction that mainly targets settlers and soldiers in the occupied territories. The Islamic Movement of Uzbekistan, which has long sided with Osama bin Laden's Al-Qaeda. The Basque Separatist Movement, ETA, the Revolutionary Armed Forces of Colombia, or FARC, a Marxist group, the right-wing paramilitary United Self-Defense Forces of Colombia, and the National Liberation Army, a leftist rebel group in Colombia. And so, at what point did Ottawa become a nexus for terrorist activity? Or Canada, for that matter? Oil fuels war, but the struggle for water is likely to make it worse as countries are competing for scarce water supplies and companies see it as a commodity for profiting from the poor. From the 16th to the 23rd of March, at the Third World Water Forum, thousands of delegates discussed if water is to be a basic human right or a commodity owned by private companies. While most of the delegates were corporate representatives with vested interest in privatization, there was a separate grassroots presence as well. However, while the Intex could not give a final resolution to this question, water already is a $400 million business. Consequences of water privatization in the South Hemisphere can be seen in Argentina, Bolivia, and South Africa, where prices have risen and quality dropped. But given the recent decision by the world's largest water company, Suez, to pull out of major cities in South America, and the growing opposition to water privatization in many countries, there are signs that the tide may be turning for the corporate water giants, Corporate Europe Observatory says in one of its recent water briefings. However, Western countries are also seeking the privatization of water through the WTO General Agreement on Trades and Services. So let me ask you something. If the use of water is privatized, what's going to be next? The air? I'm sure you can make a killing off of that. Dozens of fans walked out of a Pearl Jam concert in Denver after lead singer Eddie Vedder took a mask of President Bush and impaled it on a microphone stand. Several concertgoers booed and shouted Tuesday night for Vedder to shut up as he told the crowd he was against the war and Bush. He impaled the mask during the encore of the band's opening show of a U.S. tour. Fan Keith Zimmerman said, "It was like he decapitated someone in a primal ritual and stuck their head on a stick." Vedder used a Bush mask in Australia and Japan to perform their song Bushleaguer from the band's latest album, Riot Act. The song's lyrics say, "He's not a leader, he's a Texas leaguer." During the show, Vedder said, "Just to clarify, we support the troops. We're just confused on how wanting to bring them back safely all of a sudden becomes non-support. We love them. They're not the ones who make the foreign policy. Let's hope for the best and speak our opinions." And I guess that just goes to show it doesn't pay to offer up your opinion in the entertainment industry, unless you're like the other sheep that just follow along with the shepherd, whether he's right or not. And to people like Keith Zimmerman, let me explain something to you. Taking a photograph and impaling it on a microphone stand is absolutely nothing like severing someone's head and impaling it on a pike. I mean, I'm sure the clever-seeming reference made you feel all important when someone stuck a microphone in your face, but all it really did was go to show how absolutely desensitized people have become, thanks to mass media and the movie industry. I mean, taking a photograph and impaling it on a microphone stand hardly compares to the absolute horror of a severed head on a bike. And finally, the recording industry is expanding its fight against illegal internet content swapping by suing four college students for allegedly offering more than 1 million copies of popular music. In lawsuits filed Thursday in federal courts in New York, New Jersey, and Michigan, the Recording Industry of America asked that the sites be shut down and that it be paid maximum damages of $150,000 per song. The RIAA said the file sharing systems were being run by students at Princeton University, Rensselaer Polytechnic Institution, and Michigan Technological University. The schools were not named as defendants. The RIAA said the offenses were akin to those committed by Napster, which was ordered shut down after the courts found it violated copyrights. RIAA President Kerry Sherman said in a statement, "These systems are just as illegal and operate in the same manner. The action reflects a recent trend in which the entertainment industry has become more aggressive in pursuing copyright infringers." Now look, I shit you not. That is $150,000 per song. I mean, these guys are being sued by an organization that didn't even create the music in the first place. I mean, these guys possibly didn't even rip the CDs that had the songs on them, and they weren't even making money off of them. This kind of reminds me of when the MPAA was suing 2600 for posting links. And I tell you right now, if they can get away with this, bucking for early retirement as they obviously are, man, I am in the wrong fucking business. So anyway, listen to Rant Radio Monday through Friday at 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific for your daily Rant Radio news update, bringing you the news issues and commentary you need to know. For Rant Radio News, my name is Rumbling Sky.